There was a picture of the earth, but it had been all ripped apart, torn into small pieces, and those pieces lay on the floor. Some children tried to piece it back together, but it was hard because the green and the blue and the swirly white all looked so much the same. And then one of the children turned a piece of the puzzle over and noticed, well, it looked kind of like an eye. And so she turned a few more pieces over, and her friends joined in, and suddenly they found it not so difficult to put together a picture of a person. And so when they repaired that torn up person, they repaired that whole torn up world. Today we are looking at connection. And one of those connections being the connection between transforming ourselves and transforming the world. There's a whole garden of possibility. And in the Garden of Possibility are our chalice lighters of the month, Barb and Ido Nyland, who are at home recouping from the flu. So instead, we welcome the Thomas and Johnson family to come forward and light our chalice as we all contemplate connecting with ourselves, with one another, with our church family, and the whole wide world. So Holly Jean was tired of concrete. Her condominium was comfortable, wasn't that? But the only thing between it and her ordinary office block was a cement sidewalk. All the lines were straight and everything was gray. She wanted something more, but she didn't know what it was. So she began to take detours on the way to work. Sometimes they took 6 minutes, sometimes 60. But they were all helping her see the world in a whole new way. And then one day she walked out the door of her building and saw that what she'd been looking for was right there in front of her. It was a vacant lot, full of possibility. She made a sign. It said, Dream Garden. And she put it up. And some of the neighbors, as they walked by, scowled a little. What did she mean? But others were curious and slowly began to join in with her. And pretty soon, they built a bench. And then on Saturdays, they would sit together on the bench with a sign-up sheet and seed catalogs and nail polish. Because you know that the best gardeners have what? Green thumbs. They figured they might need help, so they painted their fingernails jelly bean green. You could just pretend to do that now and then in the story if you want to. Well, it took a while, but eventually there were enough people. There was a whole crew to cruise on down to City Hall. And much to their amazement, they got permission to do whatever they wanted, to grow whatever they wanted in that vacant lot. The dream garden had begun. It seemed too good to be true, and maybe it was. They broke their backs and their shovels trying to break that ground. It was so hard. So back to the bench they went, and to encourage themselves, what do you think they did? A little more green, maybe that's what was needed on those fingernails. But also maybe a little bit of reading. Gardening books, gardening blogs, and then Holly Jean got her nose stuck in a chapter about lasagna gardening. She closed her eyes and she began to imagine tomatoes so tall, and onions and garlic and basil and spinach and zucchini, all the things she loved to put in lasagna. But she read a little further and found that the first ingredient was cardboard. Cardboard? That was intriguing. She read some more and soon learned that there was a way to avoid digging. She and the Dream Garden team expanded their circles of connection. Some of of them made new friends by the seaside as they gathered seaweed. Others got to know farmers as they collected bags of manure. Others got to know more neighbors, even some of the scowly ones helped out. And if they didn't have grass clippings or dry leaves, well, they had shredded paper or cardboard. And best of all, of course, were the extra trips to the coffee shop. Not just to drink coffee, but to bring home those grinds. And pretty soon, the Dream Garden team was stacking up layers of brown and green and brown and green, watering them in between and sprinkling them with a bit of bone meal, kind of like fairy dust, it felt. And then, all they had to do was wait. Well, it was winter, so it wasn't hard. They had lots of time to keep those nails green. And by spring, they were ready. They all agreed they would plant that lasagna garden with seeds of spinach and basil and zucchini. And they tucked in tomato plants and onion sets. And they waited. You have to be patient. A week for some of the seeds to sprout, 2 weeks for others, and it looked great at first, those straight lines, but then the lines began to bulge out. There were other things growing, and then the leaves that had grown so tall were also beginning to have bigger holes in them. Oh, they'd known about the possibility of pests, and now they had them. But they got to work, picking away, pulling off slugs, brushing off aphids, finding wireworms, pulling up weeds. But Holly Jean, one day, while she was working away, she began to think about a certain aisle in the hardware store. One whose packages have skulls and crossbones on them. She thought surely a little pesticide wouldn't hurt. But right then, something grabbed onto her thumb. It wasn't another gardener. She pulled it out of the leaves, and it was a teeny tiny tree frog. With its little perfect fingers wrapped around her thumb, and its perfect green skin, and its big bulgy eyes, it said, "Krrr." Holly Jean understood. She put it back and went back to the bench. More book and blog reading. There were possibilities. Ladybugs? Potatoes? Beer? Not for the team. The beer was for the slugs, yeah. And the potatoes? Trap wireworms. And those ladybugs? They got to work on the aphids. But still, there was weeding to do. Lots of weeding. More green for the next lasagna bed, thought Holly Jean. And then she thought, and at least I don't have to do it alone. And at that moment, she realized she really had found that something more. Not only a garden of veggies, she had a whole garden of friends working with her. And that's the almost true story of the jelly bean green gardener.
When Faye and I were preparing for this morning, we found a full version of a reading that's in the back of our hymnal that I've always admired. A reading by the poet Marge Piercy, which is sort of part poem, part prose poem perhaps, about gardening. And the connections that we weave through gardening. And we thought it was a great metaphor for the beginning of our month of connection. So here I share with you now the full reading of The Seven Pentacles by Marge Piercy. Under a sky the color of pea soup, she is looking at her work growing away there actively, thickly like grapevines or pole beans, as things grow in the real world, slowly enough. If you tend them properly, if you mulch, if you water, If you provide birds that eat insects a home and winter food, if the sun shines and you pick off caterpillars, if the praying mantis comes and the ladybugs and the bees, then the plants flourish, but at their own internal clock. Connections are made slowly. Sometimes they grow underground. You cannot always tell always by looking what is happening. More than half the tree is spread out in the soil under your feet. Penetrate quietly as the earthworm that blows no trumpet. Fight persistently as the creeper that brings down the tree. Spread like the squash plant that overruns the garden. Gnaw in the dark and use the sun to make sugar. Weave real connections. Create real nodes. Build real houses. Live a life you can endure. Make love that is loving. Keep tangling and interweaving and taking more in, a thicket and bramble wilderness to the outside, but to us, interconnected with rabbit runs and burrows and layers. Live as if you liked yourself, and it may happen. Keep reaching out, keep bringing in. This is how we are going to live for a long time. Not always. For every gardener knows that after the digging, after the planting, after the long season of tending and growth, the harvest comes. For our meditation this morning, I invite you to draw in your mind's eye the garden of your imagining or dreaming. Perhaps it's a garden like the garden in the story that Faye told us about something more. The garden, the vacant lot, lasagna garden. Or perhaps the garden of your dreaming and imagining is more like the Garden of Eden, some idyllic, perfect kind of garden, unsullied by chemicals or smoke or waste. Perhaps your The garden of your dreams, the garden of your imagining is not actually a perfect garden. Perhaps it's a garden with weeds, just like any other garden. But perhaps it is a garden like the garden of the Piercy poem that is a garden of connection. Perhaps it's a garden of people. A garden of peace. A garden of harmony and color. As you picture this garden, I want you to imagine what your role is. Are you a gardener or a caretaker? Are you just one living spirit among all of the other living creatures and spirits in your garden? Is it a garden that you don't actually own? Is it a garden that owns you? What is your place in the garden? How do you hold steady to your place, not taking up too much space, not taking up too little space, but fitting just right? In the garden of life, we all have a part to play. May we appreciate our place and our role. May we appreciate all of the other beings in the garden of life. And as we conclude our prayer, but not our dreaming, not our visioning, not our hoping for that garden of connection, that garden of peace, that garden of love, that garden of life, may we close with two more deep breaths and releasing our prayer with that body prayer. Releasing that hope and that dream. Kids may continue to draw, and the youth may continue to draw as I share my brief message this morning. You'll notice that the title for my message this morning is taken directly from the Marge Piercy poem that I shared with you earlier, Love That Is Loving. I have always appreciated the poem since I first heard it, and every time I do, I find that there are two lines that make me grin in recognition, sometimes even chuckle aloud. That is, make love that is loving, and live as if you liked yourself, and it may happen. The loving love line reminds me that sometimes what we think is love, something that we do with loving intention, isn't actually received that way. We make love that is loving when we are in tune with the life around us. Perhaps you've been on the receiving end of love that felt a little less than loving, felt a little bossy, shall we say, felt a little like an imposition, and someone said, well, I just love you so much. And you said, that's great, could you love me a little less? Love that is loving is not love to be given by imposing our vision or our version of love. Life and love that will endure, as the poet reminds us, will need to fit in with the cycle of life, be sensitive to differences, and express care with a little more delicacy than a bull in a china shop. Gardening, I think, is a wonderful metaphor for this kind of loving love, for there will be seasonal changes. There will be pruning and weeding needed, and also seedlings and bulbs that will need to be cared for with tenderness. Love that is loving is not imposed. It is nurtured, grown, and appreciated. Which brings me to the second chuckle line, live as if you liked yourself. I appreciate that the poet sees a connection between love that is loving and living as if you liked yourself. Have you noticed that sometimes it's those imposed kinds of love that come from someone or something that is not liking themselves very much in the moment? It is hard to be loving if you don't like yourself. When we are angry at our mistakes and our shortcomings, when we take our frustrations out on others, there is no love there. Not within and not without. Tending our own spirit, our own soul, our own heart, our own well-being is a necessary ingredient in loving presence. We've all had experiences, haven't we, when we are around someone and we thought, if only that person believed in themselves, if only they genuinely liked who they were, it would make a huge difference. Now, I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm really talking about a deep self-awareness. It's a kind of liking oneself that says, I know who I am, my weaknesses and my strengths, and on the whole, when I add it all up, I'm all right. It isn't about being flawless or perfect, but it's about liking the unique person that we are. And it means seeing that we and only we have things that we can contribute. That it is important that we manifest that self, that loving self, in the world as often as possible. Piercy said, live as if you liked yourself, and it may happen. Reach out, keep reaching out, keep bringing in. For this is how we are going to live for a long time. Not always. For every gardener knows that after the digging, after the planting, after the long season of tending and growth, the harvest comes. The harvest of heart, the harvest of self, the harvest of love, the harvest of peace. May it be yours. May it be ours now. And always. Blessed be. And amen.